You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. About one in three households in the country owns a cat, myself included. But while we think we might know what they're telling us or what's just going on inside their heads, these pets are often misunderstood, and that can lead to health or behavior problems. Here in Sacramento, an animal behavior scientist has been studying felines and turned her findings into a fun guide to better understand their behavior. Earlier this year, I sat down with Dr. Michael Maria Delgado, author of the new book, Play With Your Cat. We talked about the science behind cat behavior and took some questions from Cap Radio staff about how best to interact with our furry companions. Where did your fascination with cats begin?
Yeah, I mean, I've loved cats since I was a child. So I would say when I was young, but I definitely did not have some kind of vision of even being a veterinarian, much less a cat behaviorist. So it wasn't like there was a clear path in my life to, I'm going to be a cat expert. But it was not until much later in life that I started volunteering at an animal shelter, actually. And that's really what turned my world around and made me realize that I wanted to devote my livelihood and life to working with cats.
What was it about working at that animal shelter and coming into contact with many cats in an intimate way that actually where that light bulb went off and you're like, hey, I actually want to do this professionally?
Yeah, I think part of it was seeing the situations that led cats to end up in an animal shelter in the first place, right? Being in that environment and seeing how tough it is for a lot of these kitties to lose their home, their family, and be in this strange environment with a lot of other animals, a lot of people, a lot of scary noises. And I wanted to help these cats stay in their home in the first place, but also help the cats that we were working with get placed into good homes that they could stay in. And so much of that, I think, is educating cat caretakers on what cats need to thrive in a home environment and be a good pet. People think of cats as being low maintenance. They don't think of them as being trainable. They don't recognize kind of some of their special needs that make them a little bit different. They're not dogs. They're not people. And so I really wanted to help people basically just understand the fuzzy little creature that they live with.
Yeah. I mean, there are, and I've heard this many a times, you know, you're a dog person or you're a cat person. I know people who love both. I think most people who like pets like both. But do you think cats can sometimes be misunderstood or get a bad rap when it comes to their canine peers?
I think they are less understood than dogs. And some of it has to do with kind of our evolutionary code, you know, evolutionary history with these species, and also just how we've domesticated them. So with dogs, we've selected them for very specific traits, including like their facial features, right? Like you look at a dog and you see a smile.
Yeah.
And you look at a cat and you see a question mark above their head, right? You don't know what they're feeling always. And certainly new research is enhancing our understanding of how complicated their, like even their facial communication and musculature is. But I do think that people look at a cat and they start projecting, he wants to kill me or like he's mad, right? Even when the cat's just sitting there. So I think they are a little harder to understand. And also they're less domesticated. So they've been selected for basically being cute and liking us. But we haven't changed a lot of their other behaviors during that process of domestication, whereas we've selected dogs to help us at tasks, help us with hunting, guard our property. Cats have been allowed to just be cats, and a lot of that includes kind of some wild behaviors, right, including predation and things that people don't necessarily understand and maybe don't make sense in the current context that cats are living with. They're in our homes, but they're still very much a little wild animal in a certain respect.
Yeah. So you have a PhD in psychology, but you were also a postdoctoral fellow at the UC Davis Veterinary School, one of the best in the country, if not the world. When did the idea of becoming a cat behavior consultant come about? It seems pretty niche.
Yeah, it actually started while I was at the animal shelter. So the shelter I worked at, which was the San Francisco SPCA, so I moved from the Bay Area to Sacramento a few years ago. The San Francisco SPCA had a cat behavior program. And so we were in charge of assessing all the cats coming into the shelter, working with adopters. But we also had a behavior hotline so people could call if they had a question about their cat's behavior. Our phones were ringing off the hook. We would get like 100, 200 calls a month from people who were having problems with their cats, ranging from my cats are fighting, to my cat's peeing on my bed, my cat's waking me up at 3 in the morning, my cat's scratching my couch. So through just the volume of requests we were getting, it was like, people need help. Like, there's a need for really tailored consulting where you talk to someone one-on-one about their cat's behavioral history and their health and the environment and help them come up with a plan to have a better relationship with their cat and a better behaved cat.
Yeah, and that's not entirely new. I mean, when I think of the Animal Planet, there were shows, you know, of you know, training dogs and and understanding animal behavior. So I think people definitely have a fascination with it and a growing fascination with it at that. This all was now compiled into a book, which has a pretty straightforward title, Play with Your Cat, with an exclamation point. How did all of that come about?
Yeah, the title of the book is a call to action. So through my work as a consultant, I certainly recognize that a lot of cats in homes are bored. People, you know, maybe think their cat's lazy, but a lot of times the cat is just understimulated. They are not getting the exercise and mental stimulation they need. So that's the first issue. Second, as a researcher, I became very interested in the topic of animal play. And if you look across species, most animals, when studied, show some form of play behavior. So then the question is, why? Why is play so important to our well-being, to our development? Of course, as humans, I also like to play. I love games. I like to do creative things like play music and do art. So I'm a playful person. So the topic of animal play did become very interesting to me. I wrote a scientific paper with a colleague reviewing all of the science related to cat play. And there were a lot of gaps, but certainly a lot of things that really illuminated the connection between predatory behavior in cats and play. So when we're playing with our cats, we're really giving them an outlet for this natural instinct that our cats still have, even if they're spending most of their time indoors and never get to hunt a bird or a mouse.
Yeah, that's such a great point, especially when you connect it to being human. You know, we all have this capacity to play and to be creative, but sometimes that can get lost. Life is busy. And I do think that there's a harm that happens to us individually when we don't tap into that part of ourselves, or it atrophies. And you can see a parallel, as you're describing, with the cat that's understimulated. A house cat doesn't go outside, can look out the window, but can't really get that satisfaction of what are its primal instincts.
Yes.
And you can achieve that as its owner by playing with it.
Absolutely. So when we're thinking about play, we want to use toys that mimic prey. So, you know, I like a wand toy with some feathers on the end or a little mouse on the end, something very prey-like. And then moving those toys like a prey animal to bring out that predatory behavior in our cats, which again is a natural instinct. It's in all of our kitties somewhere, even if they've turned into a couch potato.
You can see their eyes change.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And even if, from a kitten, you know, you can just see that from the get-go. So when it comes to this book, who is this book for? Who do you envision interacting and using this book?
Yes. I hope that every person who lives with a cat will enjoy this book. And I tried to make it really accessible. As a scientist, I don't want people to think I'm just I really want to bring my science and all of the science to a general audience and make it fun. So I really tried to make the book half science and then half practical tips. So, you know, why do cats hunt? What do we know about cat hunting behavior? How does this translate to play? And then also, how do I pick a toy for my cat? How do I move the toy? How often should I play with my cat? When should I play with my cat? What if I have four cats? So I really tried to address every possible scenario that I had encountered in my almost 25 years of working with cats. I was like, because I also know where people have resistance, right? Like, oh, I have four cats, or I'm too tired, or, you know, I mean, we're all tired, we're all distracted. But taking care of our pets is an obligation that we have to them, and it doesn't have to take a lot of time. So if we look at how cats hunt, they're not hunting for 12 hours a day. They don't hunt for an hour at a time. They're often stalking for a few minutes, and then they pounce. The mouse either gets away or it doesn't, but then the hunting's over. So when you play with your cats, even a few minutes can make a big difference.
Yeah, I love the book because it's interactive. The illustrations you have are quite helpful. So it actually makes it very digestible, because at the root of it, you're talking about science and research. That is your background. Playing for 15 minutes twice a day, I read that at some point in your book. That can sound easy on the surface, but in practice, that can be hard for pet owners to do. Why do you think it's such a struggle to make time for it?
I think we are all busy. I know I, you know, like everyone else, I struggle. And a lot of it is habit formation. So so much of working with companion animals is actually working with their guardians, right? So it's often not changing the cat's behavior, it's changing the person's behavior. And human behavior change is tricky. So I do try to give people suggestions, like do things on a routine. In our household, we always play with our cats after dinner. It's like one person's doing the dishes, one person is getting the toys out and getting ready. So if you can create habits, put a timer on your phone or a reminder on your phone. Have cat toys in places where you can readily access them. So have a cat toy in your cabinet where your coffee mug is. So while you're making coffee in the morning, 3 minutes to play with your cat. Just squeeze it in, right? So, 15 minutes twice a day would be a good amount for a younger cat. Certainly an older cat may not need that much play. And so I think even 5 to 10 minutes a day is going to have a huge benefit for most cats.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Dr. Michael Maria Delgado, a cat behavior consultant and scientist, about her new book, Play With Your Cat. It gives owners the tools to tackle feline behavioral problems and just keep your cat healthy and happy, of course, through play. So when the word got out that we were going to have a cat behavior consultant on the show, it spread like catnip throughout CAP Radio. So we got a lot of questions from staff members that I also think a lot of people at home and who are listening would have as well. So mm-hmm. if we can run through them, since we have you in the flesh, that would be great.
This is what I do at every party.
Yeah, I can imagine. So the corning, putting you in the corner of the room, you have all these cat people asking you questions. So you touched upon this. Playing with a senior cat can be mm-hmm. different than a younger or a kitten. Mm-hmm. What advice do you have for playing with a senior cat? You want to interact with them. You want to give them some exercise, but they frequently stop playing with you as if to say, like, we're done now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you think about an older, weaker hunter, then you want to have weaker prey, right? So the play is going to look very different. And I think we get a little conditioned to expect that play is going to look like backflips and like bouncing off the walls and all the things that kittens and young cats do. As cats get older, it is going to be shorter. It's going to be less active. It might be just watching a toy with some intent or even just batting at it a little bit. It's totally fine if your cat just lays down while you're playing with them. They might be on their back, kind of moving their paws a little bit at the toy while you move it, not too far away. So part of it is changing our expectations and recognizing, just like as we age, we don't necessarily do the same type of intense exercise as we did when we were younger, but that exercise is still important. So we do want to maintain that play. My last cat lived to be almost 17, and she played up until just a few weeks before she died. So it's definitely possible. I've had clients with senior cats, and I always really love helping them bring out that just tiny little bit of hunter in their cat. It's just less intense usually.
Yeah. I also wonder, and this was the next question we got, do cats get sad or depressed? Mm-hmm. At one point, we had multiple cats, and when one passed away, we could feel and see a change in behavior. Do they actually get sad?
Yes, they can experience grief and they can experience stress, and we do believe they show signs that we would consider depression, right? So it's very hard because we can't ask them how they're feeling, but we can recognize changes in their behavior. Now, changes in behavior are often the first sign that something's medically going on. So I always recommend if people are seeing changes in their cat's behavior, they think their cat is depressed, their cat's hiding, not eating as well. Those are all reasons to call your veterinarian and schedule an appointment to make sure your cat is physically healthy. But yeah, we definitely see stress and depression, cats experiencing challenges to their welfare. And often the first signs are changes in behavior, like hiding, less engaged, not wanting to be touched, that sort of thing.
This next question is kind of fun. Why do some cats chirp at birds and others do not?
Yeah, so they're talking about this little chattery noise that probably a lot of you have heard. The cat's kind of looking out the window and going, like tooth. So there are some feline mysteries that we don't necessarily understand. So there's different theories about this sound. It could be frustration. Why frustration would be expressed in this cute little chittering noise, I can't tell you. But there are some species of wild cats. So margays have been observed mimicking the sounds of prey animals. And so there is one theory that maybe the chittering noise is kind of similar to bird sounds. And so maybe the cat's trying to get kind of into enemy territory by mimicking them and being less, again, I think you could poke some holes in any of these theories because maybe it would be better for the cat to just be quiet. But definitely one of those. We don't have a great answer.
Yeah.
Sorry.
This has happened with one of my cats. It was another question we got from a colleague. Why does a cat sometimes eat so fast that they can't hold it down?
Yeah. So scarf and barf, as it's affectionately called, can be due to medical issues. So not necessarily medical emergency, but something you want to bring up at your cat's yearly checkup. But you can slow down your cat's feeding by using something like a food puzzle or a slow feed bowl. And these are toys that have been used with dogs for years, like little Kongs where they stuff peanut butter in and the dog can lick it for hours. We're increasingly recommending these products for cats. So a food puzzle might be a ball with holes in it and you put their dry food inside and they can roll it around. It could be a tray where they have to push food in and out of different compartments, or it could be like a slow feed mat where you smush the wet food into different little crevices that they have to then take their time getting the food out. So all of these things allow cats to work for their food, which they would do naturally if they were hunting. And it also slows down their feeding. So that's usually my go-to for cats that are voracious, very fast eaters. It's like, let's just slow them down a little bit.
If you have a young cat, obviously their energy level is completely different from an older cat. How long does it take for a young cat to get out of that crazy attack mode phase and learn to use their claws and their teeth a little more gently during playtime?
Sure. So it's going to vary from cat to cat. I've been asking myself this for almost 5 years because my cats are almost five. So, you know, so much of it is how we play with them. This is a good opportunity to remind people that it's not a good idea to use your hands or feet as a toy with your cat. So when you're playing with your cat, use, you know, a wand with a string and something on the end that keeps your body really far away from your cat's teeth and claws. If your cat is biting and scratching you for other reasons, it could be, for example, you want to pet them, but they don't feel like being petted. That's a common reason that cats will bite and scratch people. So sometimes we have to, again, change our behavior, right? And recognize that just because you want to pet or pick up your cat does not mean that they want to be petted or picked up. But sometimes it is about not blurring the lines between petting and play. So even if your cat is young, they should not be spending a lot of their time like chewing on your ankles or your hands.
And I have made that mistake.
That's an opportunity to, that's the kind of thing that I help a lot of people with is taming that little tiger, doing some training, getting that energy out of the cat in other ways. But as far as like when do they stop being bananas, varies from cat to cat.
Yeah, okay, I can see that. If you're introducing a new cat into a household and it's just not working out, one of our colleagues here at Cap Radio says that their two cats don't even get along after living together for 3 years.
Yeah.
Is that just hopeless or is there something more that can be done?
It's one of the most common reasons that I am called for help is people integrating cats and it's not going well, or a couple moving in together and they each have their respective kitties and oops, like cats hate each other, right? And it can be very challenging because in that situation, nobody's giving up their baby. So sometimes we are talking about a long-term management strategy. The fact is that the cats did not have any say in the roommate, right? And if someone picked a roommate for you without your input, you might be really upset at first. You might become friends with them, but you might want them to move out as soon as possible. So a lot of it is about the compatibility between the cats. But to be honest, this is an area where there's very little research. So what we look at is trying to introduce the cats in a way that is slow and controlled and based on positive experiences where we're training the cats what we want them to do around each other. So training them to do things like sit or move away from the other cat for rewards so they understand that maybe stalking and chasing is not the ideal behavior to do. But some of it is, I think, you know, cats are naturally wary of new cats. If you look at the behavior of feral colonies where new cats are maybe coming into that territory, they need repeated friendly interactions for them to accept a new cat. And in some cases, they don't accept each other. So some cases, the cats are never going to accept each other. Sometimes medication is needed, so behavior medication. Sometimes very long controlled introductions. I've had clients that it's taken them over a year, but often the cats finally get to a point of peace, which is our goal, right? Not necessarily friendship, but just safe tolerance, you know, not a lot of stress. So it's it can be a very serious issue, though. And part of it is that we want more cats. Then maybe we have the space to support that density of cats, especially if they're not familiar with each other.
What if you're trying to introduce a dog into a cat household?
It's interesting. Sometimes cats like dogs more than they like other cats. And that could be they have kind of different needs, so they're not competing for the same thing. But you certainly want to be careful about the dog's history with small animals. So a dog with really high prey drive could be a risk. Certainly a cat who is not feeling great about a dog can scratch mm-hmm. a dog or do worse. So we always want to, again, do a controlled, slow introduction. I'm a big fan of positive reinforcement-based training, so the animals are getting reinforcement for the behaviors we want them to express around each other, and a lot of management. So baby gates are your best friend in that kind of situation where maybe the cat has a room they can escape to where the dog can't.
Finally, we only have 30 seconds left, but I want to get this last question in. Scratching posts, you put them all over the house. Mm-hmm. You have like five or six, and mm-hmm. then they just go straight for the couch. What? How do you redirect them
to
where they're supposed to scratch?
Yeah, there might be a problem with the scratching posts you're choosing. I probably have 8 or 10 scratching posts. My cats do not scratch my couch. I do a lot of reinforcement. When they scratch the scratching posts, they get treats.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Dr. Maria Delgado. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Vicky.
And that was my conversation with Dr. Michael Maria Delgado, an animal behavior scientist and author of the new book, Play With Your Cat. Still ahead, Sacramento is home to a variety of museums, and many could use more people power. We'll learn about the call out for volunteers. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.